Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 582, Science Faction 125 million year old dino DNA and lots of less dead babies.
Is this because a world where Jurassic Park was never created using that dino DNA, and just because there is now not a new apex predator on the planet, there are fewer dead babies? Is that where you're going?
I was going to go into a scenario where you invent a time machine, and instead of going back and killing baby Hitler, you go back and kill baby Anakin Skywalker, which would, of course, stop the massacre of the younglings that would happen later on.
Yeah, good call. I mean, Darth Vader, we don't talk about it. I mean, that's sci-fi's big, big taboo. But when you think about it, Darth Vader is certainly the Hitler of the science fiction universe.
Well, and if you think about it, it happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And as we all know, history builds on itself. And so, you know, the echoes of the evil that was done in the time of the Galactic Empire, it still echoes today. I mean, I think a lot of that touches on things like slavery and racism.
I think that's where a lot of current distrust of the Senate comes from.
That's true. I mean, Senator Palpatine really did paint senators in general in a pretty bad light.
I'm tired of Mitch McConnell saying, listen, at least I wasn't a Palpatine. That guy knew how to control the majority.
Ironically, Mitch McConnell looks less like a human being than many of the aliens in the Star Wars Senate.
Wow, does he wake up every morning and Industrial Light and Magic just goes to town on him? Just to make him look this human?
They put a clip of Mitch McConnell in there and they're like, come on, we're going to get sued by the Ninja Turtles Corporation. You can't put a giant anthropomorphic turtle in the middle of the Senate.
I always thought like Mitch McConnell was like the ultimate anti-bullying PSA. Because you can't tell me that growing up in Kentucky, he didn't get his ass kicked every day and then said, I'm going to take it out on all the residents of this state.
Oh, dear. And speaking of the residents of Kentucky, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. You know what? Maybe I would like to go back in time and be one of Mitch McConnell's bullies. Like, I want to walk in.
Okay. So I'm imagining this is like the night before Christmas. You go back as a ghost, with this like a ghost of bullying, I guess, the ghost of bullying past, and he takes you back to really give it to Mitch McConnell on like some summer's day in 1967.
You know you did a good job when the Senate Majority Leader wets himself when you enter the room.
I just love the idea of like ghosts that have dedicated their lives to people who should have been bullied more in their youth, like going back and really righting that wrong.
Like, listen, we're not going to try to change them. That's another department. We're a department. Listen, this guy, he will die having done insane amounts of damage to democracy, right? He will die a millionaire and without any punishment. We're not going to get him on the back end. He's too powerful. But with time travel, we can make sure that his front end is loaded with misery to balance out the karmic scale.
And if you don't want to find yourselves in the crosshairs of the bully ghost that brings you back in time and harms you somehow in, I don't know, a demeaning way that doesn't seem actually...
He beats your ass next to a younger version of yourself. It's psychologically crippling.
Yeah, so if you don't want that to happen to you, go ahead and check out our Patreon. You can look up Robert Timothy at Patreon, and we give many clues as to how to avoid bully ghosts.
And he does it like Jackie Chan, too, so it's really entertaining, and like it's a very asymmetrical way of fighting. Next thing you know, you're being clobbered with a giant fish at a market.
Yeah, a lot of people have described it as confusing and cultural appropriation.
Never mind.
It's basically a shot-by-shot remake from Rush Hour, and I play both Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker's characters.
Yeah, you're, Bobby, you're not very good at voices.
I am not. Damien, don't you ever touch a black man's stereo.
Mr. Tucker in the studio tonight. By the way, before we get started, Bobby, I want to say that, Bobby, you have done a great job at creating this educational science podcast. It is a...
Sure. Thank you.
If you go into Podbean, you type in science, you'll see that we have as many subscribers as some of the big boys, like the BBC and NPR's science.
True. That is a different BBC, though.
Yes, well, it's also, that's if you type it into Pornhub, you get a different.
They have way more hits.
Yeah. Holy shit, Neil deGrasse Tyson stacked. one of the things, we get a fair amount of listeners from around the world every week, and that's something you did on your own. But one of the things where we're not swinging with the big boys is our comments in iTunes. And
that's
something that seems small, but it's actually really important in helping our podcast grow and helping Bobby earn back some money, perhaps, on the countless man hours that he spends editing and putting this show together.
So do you think we should like get people, like we should stimulate people to want to go write a comment by being controversial? Like that's what Facebook does, right? It has an algorithm that's like, this is going to piss this person off. Let's say it. And then they'll respond. And that counts as like an interaction. And we can charge an ad person for that. So like, should we try and like get them mad enough to go put an iTunes comment out?
You're not man enough. Or woman enough, or non-binary enough to leave a comment. No, I was thinking, you're thinking the stick. I was thinking the carrot. I was thinking, what if every time, this little thing that Paige and Armando over at the Cult Podcast do, is that every time that there is a 5-star review comment on iTunes, we read it out on air. And perhaps we roast you. I don't know. We roast your name.
You think that's going to work with all these little bitch-ass listeners?
Are you nugging our listeners right now, Bobby?
No.
You can't see, but Bobby's wearing a Jamiroquai hat.
I'm certainly not just trying to stimulate controversy for the sake of getting you to have some kind of interaction, even a negative one being a positive one online somehow, you stupid little bitches. I'm certainly not doing that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not using the term globalist. I was waiting for that.
Yes.
I was waiting for you to use other dog whistles.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to insult our listeners as opposed to, like, start a whole new platform of neo-Nazis. But all right, I guess we can go your way.
Listen, we've tried starting beef with Stephen Novella. It's just not working.
Oh, it's working. It's fucking working. There's a reason he's not, there's a reason he doesn't set foot in San Diego. He knows the rules.
You just regularly, you fly out to whatever city he lives in and just slash his tires?
No, I just have there's actually, I rented out a big billboard by the airport that just says, Novella's not welcome here.
I'm also having a catfish relationship with his wife, just because I can.
All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
Article number one, did they find 125 million-year-old dino DNA in Chinese fossils?
Like in Chinese people's fossils? Because that'd be amazing. That's wow.
That would be before primates. That would be amazing. Yeah, certainly.
Bad science. They did not.
Okay. this isn't I Call BS, right?
This show is Jump the Shark. I can't lose. We haven't started it.
That counts, kind of.
Nope. Different recording. On a different day. Because we record this on a different day.
Yeah, there's a time delay, though, and I think that kind of factors in. Anyway, let's look at this claim. I actually got this article emailed to me by three of our Patreons. And listen, I'm not going to lie. When Patreons send me stuff, I pay a little bit more attention. They're better than the rest of you little bitches. So, I got it sent by three different ones, and they said, haven't you said on numerous occasions there is no way to get DNA from dinosaurs because the half-life of DNA, you know, breaks, it says it's going to break down, and by the time you get to 65 million years, pretty much everything is gone from there. And I said, yes, that is what I have always been told. I have looked this up to reaffirm this, and this is what seems to be the general knowledge in terms of just like literally the half-life of DNA as a molecule. So that all seemed right. So these like headlines did seem a little weird. Now, I did notice I wasn't seeing a lot of these in a lot of the science journals, but it was interpretations that were reported in popular science media. And so what is the claim? The claim is that there is possible DNA and proteins in 125 million-year-old Chinese dinosaur fossils. So why is this a shocking claim? As we just talked about, what we know about DNA indicates that if you had it set in a lab freezer, fuck the amber thing from Jurassic Park, fuck out wherever it is, fuck fossilization. If you had it set in a laboratory freezer after like 6 million years or something, almost all the DNA would be gone. So 65 million years, no, fuck it. It doesn't, and by the way, not in a lab freezer. That's fucking gone. Like, as far as we know, that is fucking gone. So that's like an insane claim. So what did they actually find that brought this claim about? Clearly, they didn't sequence a dinosaur, or we would have, like, hey, dino DNA sequenced, and there'd be that little emblem from Jurassic Park, which legally has to come out if dino DNA ever gets sequenced.
I'll never be able to shit in peace again. Every time I'm on the toilet, I'm just going to fear a T-Rex kicking in the door, having to go.
So what they actually found was within the matrix of this 125 million year old fossil, they found possible cell nuclei fossilized, basically, like a fossilized version of the cell nuclei itself. And the reason that's important is the nucleus of the cell, nuclei of the cells, they are where we store DNA. And so theoretically, that is where the DNA of the animal is clumped up. Now, there is 1,000 caveats to that. Number one, it may not even be the cell nucleus, because in fact, we know in fossils of this age, we see little perturbances, little weird blobs that get fossilized during the during that process, and they're all over the place, and they can be mistaken for cell nuclei. So that's one thing. It might not even be a cell nuclei, but even if it is, it's not like the DNA is preserved in that way. Like, it would be very hard to imagine any way in which you would actually be able to find the DNA sequence that was inside, even if you did have a fossilized cell nucleus, because you couldn't get that information out. Even the authors of the article said if there is any DNA or DNA-like molecules in there, it will be very, very chemically modified and altered. You're not going to be able to pull out sequences from that. I'm not even convinced that it is a cell nucleus, but even if it is a fossilized nucleus, I definitely don't think you're going to be able to pull any information out of it. So what we do have is, in this particular instance, what looks like chromatin or threads of DNA and protein that has been preserved in cartilage of this fossil. And that would be amazing. Like, that in of itself is pretty interesting if we actually did have, you know, a fossilized nuclei with bound up DNA and stuff. But you just have to remember, another thing to think about is DNA does not sit like a line of text in a book. It is a clumped up thing. It's like a string, like a ball of string that got like thrown in a junk drawer for a couple of years and it bound up and stuff. And so that is not something that, even if it did fossilize, you would be able to pull apart in a way that you'd be able to read A, T, C, and G. All of this to say that there is a possibility that this fossilized before the half-life of DNA meant that there was no DNA left. That's totally possible, and somehow the nucleus itself got fossilized. Okay, that's even possible. We see it now. That's possible, too. It's never going to lead us to real sequences, at least not that I can tell. I am happy to be wrong about this. Some, you know, genius finds a way to read the fossilized cell nucleus of a dinosaur. That's fine. I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong. There's almost no way I can see that ever being anything that actually happens. So what we're looking at isn't, oh, we found dino DNA. What we're looking at is they found a semi-interesting fossil, which, by the way, we find similar ones before. They found a semi-interesting fossil that has implications for other things getting fossilized than we thought it did, and has nothing to do with finding dino DNA.
I mean, this crushes me, because I mean, what you're saying is, suck it, Jeff Goldblum. Life doesn't find a way.
That's true.
I've based much of my life on life finding a way. That's why I've never come on a toilet seat. Of all the places I've come, never on a toilet seat, because I believed. Now, what do I even believe anymore?
That just seems like a courtesy.
I mean, I grew up in a house, in a, you know, as a teenager who showed some respect. I didn't come on the toilet seat.
That's right.
I grew up in a crowded Latino household.
Dear, on article number two, malaria vaccine approval.
Is this one of them mRNA vaccines?
It's not, actually. This is a vaccine that started its life as in a research tank in 1987. So it is 30 some odd years old. This is an old school protein-based vaccine where you're basically exposing your body to a protein that you see on the surface of an invader. Now, in this case, you know, we've talked about malaria before. Malaria is not a virus. It's not a bacteria. It's not a fungus. It's actually a protist. It's a small animal that is in your body. And so the stuff we use against it is very, very different than things like antibiotics and whatnot. So in this case, this vaccine has been in the works literally since 1987. And it is a protein-based vaccine, so we don't see the crazy effectiveness numbers that we see in mRNA vaccines. In this case, it looks like they are about 30% effective at preventing severe cases after, by the way, 4 injections, not the 2 that we get with our current mRNA vaccines, but still really, really promising. And what just happened is just this week, the WHO, the Republicans' favorite organization, finally approved a malaria vaccine. And this one, this RTSS vaccine that has been in the works for 30 plus years, may actually be deployed in mass scale through sub-Saharan Africa within the next few years, which could really make a huge difference in terms of like global population health dynamics.
Is this the type of vaccine, though, that the protists could develop a resistance to?
Yeah, that can always happen. What would most likely happen is they would change the binding sites of the protein that, you know, it's matching to, and then it could evade the immune system a little bit. I think the real answer to this is that the G2, the next generation version of this, is going to be an mRNA vaccine. And those are so dynamic. You're able to change them and modify them and everything so quickly that that will really be what we use in the next generation. But you know what? Get this out now. We have fucking barrels of it. Get it to everybody in sub-Saharan Africa tomorrow.
I just really think, you know, having to have four large injections directly to your genitalia, I think that's going to turn off a lot of...
Not where it goes.
It's weird that I just assumed that without even questioning it.
Yeah.
Huh.
I guess much like pee, malaria is stored in the balls.
Pee is stored in the balls? Wait, Bobby.
Wait, did you not know about this?
Bobby, are you saying that our bladders are in our testicles, Bobby?
No, your bladder's in your bladder. Pee is stored in your balls. Grow up, man.
My mistake, Bobby. Grow up, man. Everybody pees through the balls, Bobby.
No, you pee through your dick. You pee an idiot. Anyway, even though the vaccine itself is 30% effective, they are actually showing in some studies that they get up to 73% effective just by timing it right, meaning giving the first three injections on the lead up to the rainy season, because obviously that's when mosquitoes get deposited, and then you give the fourth injection somewhere between a year to 2 years later, also in the lead up to rainy season, and that brings your protection up from 30% to 73%, which is very, very impressive. This is one of those things, like mosquito nets themselves, that was heavily funded by Bill and Melinda Gates. I think it was like $750 million, something like that, $750 million, something around there. And they basically funded the entire thing. And much like the mosquito nets that will save a whole bunch of lives, like when they die, everybody can talk shit all they want. I'm sure he was a horrible businessman. I think he had some antitrust shit going on in the 90s. But like in terms of lives saved, you're not going to get much bigger than Bill and Melinda Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
And the advances in microchip technology that he's funded to be able to shrink them
True.
That small into each and every vaccine.
To get them right in the malaria vaccines.
Because that's science.
Just as a benchmark, 400 some odd thousand people on average die every year in Africa. About 23,000 kids every year could be saved from this vaccine, from just this vaccine. And remember, it's something that when you get it, you often get reoccurrences throughout your life, so it's not just something that you get and then if you get over it you're fine. It's a lot of times if you get it, you get over it, you're fine, and then you'll get it later on, and when you get weakened and your immune system goes down, it attacks you again. So a lot of people will, you know, recover from malaria, and that will still eventually be the cause of their death. If you had a decently working malaria vaccine that you could give to children, which is a big deal, this is the first vaccine ever approved for children, if you could do that, you could really save a lot of not just lives but suffering, because there's a lot of people who survive and they are plagued by incredible pain and issues for the rest of their lives. So one of those things where it's like, hey man, for all the shit you can talk about somebody like a Bill Gates or other billionaires or something, man, pretty hard to argue about anybody else like doing more good for humankind.
Still, are we just over the importing another species to predate the mosquito, or do they succumb to the malaria as well?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could constantly bring in bigger things to eat them in the Australian cane toad fashion, as we all know, that's very ineffective. But I'm gonna go ahead. You know, you do your best. You send out the sterile mosquitoes as much as you can. You try and take out the mosquito population, but also, you know, you have to vaccinate people too.
Well, good. Now let's do herpes, please. Herpes next. Now, can we get herpes on the docket?
Wish they had a vaccine for bitch ass listeners
who refuse to comment on iTunes.
You know, they were too terrified to comment on iTunes. Scared.
Bobby, they're going to leave negative reviews, and that...
That's what we want, right?
I'd like to remind people that we do have one negative review. I think she gave us 3 stars. She said she really liked the science of the show, but she did not like the fact that Bobby joked about liking big breasts. 3 stars.
Oh my god. Yeah, that still angers me. You know what? Hey, just like a bunch of you guys, when we lost a Patreon due to ivermectin, a bunch of you guys stepped up and made it so that we didn't lose any money. We actually made money off that, and we got more Patreons out of that. Hey, you know what? Let's do the same thing. I want to get a bunch of 5-star reviews that are like, I too appreciate Zaftig women, and I love ladies of larger size. This is what a great science comedy podcast to support me and my needs.
Bobby, you're just trying to get curvy women to send you nudes. I know this is code. You didn't say it like that because your wife listens to this podcast, but that's the effect.
Yeah. Bathing suit shots are just fine. They don't need to be nude. All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 582, where you learned all about possible 125-million-year-old dino DNA in China, and how we just got a malaria vaccine approved. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 583.
When it comes to leaving reviews on iTunes, real fans find a way.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.